How would you like to receive Martin Luther's A Simple Way to Pray, signed by its translator, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Everyone who records their answer to the question, issues, etc., what does this mean, by Friday morning, November the 14th, will receive an autographed copy of A Simple Way to Pray. The listener with the best recording will also win two Concordia commentaries, Galatians and Romans 1 through 8. Leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line by Friday morning, November the 14th at 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Here's a question for you. Why does the church get into the school business, into the education business, so to speak? The church has its own kind of educational agenda, certainly within the walls of the sanctuary, to catechize the faithful, that is, to instruct and educate them in the Christian faith. Should the church be in the school business? And I'm there talking about the general education, what we would call kind of the broader education of the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, all the things that people need to be well-educated. Schools can exist without the church, and the church can exist without schools, but why has historically the church educated its people in the broadest possible sense? Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Veterans Day, Tuesday, November the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to talk about Lutheran schools for this hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Peter Bender, regular guest and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy based in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, good to be with you today on this Veterans Day.
Let's talk a little bit about how the Lutheran Reformers looked at education. Sometimes when you read Luther or the other Reformers, they'll refer to the simple folk, the common folk, and one might get the impression that Luther and the other Reformers kind of considered themselves of the intellectual class and then kind of the peasantry. They didn't need the same kind of education or training and vocation that the intellectual class had. How would you correct that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that they're not really intending to set up two classes of people, the educated and then the uneducated. But rather, there's a certain hierarchy in Luther's understanding of the task of the church's teaching. And it's to serve every Christian in whatever particular vocation or station in life God has placed them. And you can't help but find in Luther, you read just a little bit, the idea that every particular station in life is significant and important to God, no matter how menial and insignificant it might appear to man to be. So the farmer, the merchant, the craftsman, the businessman, they all have an important place in God's created order. And for us as Christians, and this is a hallmark of Luther's reformation in the area of Christian education, is that Lutheran schools education is to serve the cause of faith in Christ, and secondly, love toward the neighbor in one's station and calling in life. And that love toward the neighbor is a very concrete kind of thing. We tend not to think of it being love to the neighbor if we do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, or if we do a good job as a carpenter, a cabinet maker, but that very much is how Luther would understand one's faith, active in love in one's vocation, that the work that God has given me to do, he has given me to do to serve my neighbor. It's not primarily to serve myself. Now, there's a hierarchy then in kinds of education, the Large Catechism, for example, when he's talking about the faith, he might distinguish some fine points. Well, this is for those who really want to delve more deeply into this particular subject. But for the common folk, it's enough to know the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, in their most straightforward, basic, and fundamental understandings. Now, to be basic and straightforward and fundamental is not to be simplistic, but you understand, what do the Ten Commandments teach? You know, love to God, love to the neighbor. They show us our sin, how much we need a Savior, that we need Christ. The Creed proclaims God's love for us, all that God has done for us in Christ to save us, and so forth. That's the basic foundational understanding for the common folk, that the common folk might serve faithfully in their vocation as Christians.
Okay, another point that you make, and when you said it, it clears away so much misunderstanding that exists today in the church about why a church might have a school, a day school, a high school, whatever it may be.
Correct.
You say that the teachers, since we're talking education, we will be talking about educators, therefore teachers. The day school teacher, the Lutheran day school teacher, so to speak, is not an extension of the pastor or his office, but of the parents and their office. Why is that so important to make that distinction?
It's very important to make the distinction between the office of the holy ministry, the office of public preaching, of word and sacrament, and auxiliary or diaconal offices. First of all, the office of the ministry was established by Christ. He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, which is speaking about the one office of the ministry, the office of the Word, for the sake of faith, the call to repentance and faith in Christ, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. That is what the office of the ministry is about. And when we begin to think of the ministry as more than that, we end up gutting the ministry of its unique and significant authority from Christ, which is so very important for the life of the church and for the existence of faith. If you look at a day school teacher, they do lots of things, very important things. They teach arithmetic, mathematics. They teach history. They teach liturgy. They may teach liturgy too, but all of those things under the academic disciplines that the Lutheran day school teacher might teach are not, strictly speaking, what the office of the ministry is there for. If I spend my time as a Lutheran pastor teaching arithmetic and science and grammar and so forth, I am going to be neglecting the proper work that God has given me by divine right. So that's one of the important distinctions that's necessary to maintain. Now, the Lutheran day school teacher would better understand themselves as having their office derived from the office of father and mother. Fathers and mothers, Luther says in the Large Catechism under the Fourth Commandment explanation, they have the highest office in all of creation, the highest office on earth. And it's a wonderful thing, and Todd, you know this as a father, you are called both to teach your kids right and wrong and then how to do things in life on the one hand. You're also called as their father to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, to teach them the forgiveness of sins and to teach them the gospel. So you have, as a Christian father, your foot, so to speak, in both kingdoms, the spiritual kingdom that's concerned about repentance and faith in Christ, and the earthly kingdom, the secular kingdom, sometimes called the left-hand kingdom, which is concerned about these other things that a Christian day school takes up. So it's careful to distinguish them, lest we lose what the office of the ministry is and the important function that faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Now, that would seem to me to clear up a lot of the misconceptions that say kind of maybe the average congregation member might have about the why we have a school. Often the school is sold, so to speak, to the congregation as, well, this is an extension of our church, and therefore its primary function is to be an outlet for the proclamation of the gospel. Now, I can understand how that could be rightly understood, but often, you know, it's a mission outreach of the church. It's part of our outreach into the community. All of those things would seem to make the education of the kids secondary and then confuse the teachers who say, am I here to be little pastor in my classroom, or am I here to actually teach the kids history, math, science, basketball, all the other things that the teachers are called to teach?
You know, sometimes congregations and then Lutheran day schools operated by the congregation are kind of positioned side by side, in the sense that the pastor and his work is over here on the right, and he has nothing to do with the school over here on the left, and that's a bad thing. The school is established as an agency of mercy and compassion, where the faith in Christ that the office of the ministry is concerned about is then enabled to be active in love in the school, so that the teachers understand themselves as assisting parents in the God-given work that they have been called to do. And Luther speaks of this under the fourth commandment, and that's where it properly belongs. And so the Christian parent is first concerned, you know, what I want for my kids. I want them to know Christ. I want them to know their sin. I want them to learn how to pray and how to live where God has called them. And secondly, I want them to grow up to be responsible, God-fearing adults so that they can live in service to their neighbor in whatever work God gives them to do in this life. And you see, the two go together in a wonderful symbiotic relationship where this faith in Christ, nurtured by the gospel and the sacraments, is then lived out concretely in love toward the neighbor in whatever station God has given us. And we need tools for that. We need to know arithmetic. We need to know history. We need to know literature. We need to know science. And we have the added advantage then, and this becomes more and more necessary, I think, the further we get away from the church's influence directly upon society in this post-Christian era that we're in. We need Lutheran schools now more than ever, that we might be able to integrate the historic Christian faith in Christ and in the mercy of God in Jesus into the lives that our people are called to live in this world. This is not disengagement or detachment from the world, kind of like the monastic life of the Middle Ages, but vigorous engagement with the world in all walks of life, being doctors and lawyers and businessmen and craftsmen and merchants and so forth.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon. It's Veterans Day. We're talking about Lutheran schools with him. He is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy based in Sussex, Wisconsin. When we come back, we'll talk more about what he just mentioned, integrating the faith into the life of every student and their parents. We'll be right back.
Coming Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 10 in the morning Central Time on November 14th through 10 in the morning Central Time on November 15th. This year's theme, Myths About Lutheranism. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com. issuesetc.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Comfort, comfort, ye my people, for unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Lutheran schools. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 11th. Pastor Bender, you mentioned this before, integrating the faith into the life of the students and their parents. I mean, it's a whole family that we're dealing with when we're educating the kids, obviously, because it's a joint effort, as you pointed out before. What do you mean by integrating the faith? That sounds great, but put some flesh on those bones, if you would.
Well, I had mentioned before the break that we need Lutheran schools and Lutheran elementary and secondary schools, perhaps now more than ever. At the time of the Reformation, rulers were Christians. They may have been on the papal or Roman side, or they may have been on the evangelical Lutheran side, but the whole citizenry basically was baptized. The whole citizenry was connected to the church. And so the understandings that the Christian faith brought to life and conduct in politics, in the civil realm, in the area of business, in farming and so forth, was much more closely connected to people's faith in Christ. And this revolution of catechesis that Luther certainly spearheaded in the time of the Reformation. But we live now more and more in a post-Christian era where there's a lack of those influences on basic education. So you have things like evolutionary theory, which is much more a atheistic religion than it is a legitimate scientific theory. You have things happening in our culture when it comes to the sanctioning of same-sex marriages, all the other culture war issues. And so when I speak of integrating of the Christian faith, we have a particular way of looking at life in this created world. In all disciplines, science, mathematics, even the orderliness of the universe and the intelligent design that bespeaks an intelligent creator that is behind the things that we observe in our world and so forth. And 50 years ago, when I was beginning school, in a public school, and I went only through public elementary and high school, I had teachers who were Christians, and they didn't hesitate to talk about their faith with respect to the particular discipline that they were teaching. That's no longer a possibility in the public sector. We have now this freedom from religion that is kind of mandated and jammed down society's throat and so forth. So actually, the Lutheran school has the opportunity to examine both evolution and creation from the point of view of the Christian faith and the apostolic and prophetic scriptures in a way that is often cut off from the public sector. Moral and ethical questions, how literature has taken various themes from Christianity into their writings. and how our own language and vocabulary has been influenced by the Judeo-Christian worldview and the scriptures, the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. So these are just, you know, some of the ways in which our worldview, shaped by the Word of God, can be then integrated into the examination of material in the various subjects. But I would say this, Todd, chiefly, we have a very different way of looking at life in general, and that is governed by the gospel, that our faith in Christ and in the mercy of God in Jesus for all people, without partiality, in the universal atonement of our Savior upon the cross, is what causes us to love our neighbor and to want to do a good job in whatever work that God has called us to do in our particular vocation. And that means that we're concerned about getting a good education in all of the academic disciplines that we might serve our neighbor in love precisely because of our faith in Christ.
So you're talking there about really a cultural loss of reinforcement for a distinctly Christian education. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, the world in which we live is so, I mean, just turn on the other kinds of talk radio, not Issues, etc., but others, and you can see the things that are discussed, how you can see the human condition of self-centeredness, which is the characteristic of the sinful flesh. You see it in politics, you see it in every area of public discourse and so forth. The Christian worldview, which is partly what will make it attractive to those who find such emptiness in the world around them, is a selfless, self-giving view, which is conditioned out of the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And I remember my teacher, Professor Kurt Marquardt, at the seminary, in a course on Christian apologetics, talked about, you know, bearing witness to one's faith in the ordinary vocations of life. So as a merchant who owns a store and treats his customers fairly and with honesty and integrity and compassion and without partiality and so forth, may be asked, why do you do this? You're so very different from other people that we do business with. And then the Christian merchant has the opportunity to confess his faith in Christ, whose grace and love and redemptive work is for all people. And that's why I do the kind of job that I do, the kind of work that I do. We have much to offer in the Lutheran day schools to positively, and not simply to condemn sin like homosexual unions and the culture of death and so forth, but to hold up the culture of life, which is centered in the sacrifice of Christ and the mercy of God that the gospel proclaims, and that has very real, concrete expressions in the lives that we live.
Does this, we started out talking about the 16th century reformers. Of course, they had, one might say, bigger fish to fry, Luther in particular, a lot of times, than organizing schools for the parishes. But I think we were talking recently with someone here on the program, and they talked about the origins of compulsory public education being found in some of the ideas that actually grew out of the Reformation. Do we have a track record from the time of the Reformation of saying in a formal way, we need to educate our children for life?
Yeah, it's already found in the Large Catechism of Luther and the reforms that he and Melanchthon put forward that are captured a lot today in what could be called a revival of classical education, where you're actually even learning things like Latin and so forth, the foundations for our own English language. But this idea of compulsory, you know, Luther would say, if people refuse to learn, now he's talking about learning the faith, but then by extension, he then goes on to talk about parents who refuse to teach their children to be worthwhile contributing individuals in society, they're denying their faith. And so I think we tend to sometimes mistakenly preach the gospel as if what it's really for is that you can get saved and you can go to heaven and you can enjoy eating all that you want to eat and playing golf all that you want to do, or if, as if that's what heaven is about. And it's all a very self-centered view of even the gift of salvation. But we are saved and redeemed from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and this forgiveness and grace that we receive in Jesus is transformative. The justification is forensic. We are declared righteous. But that righteousness and that forgiving word by which we are justified is transformative of the human will. We still battle the sinful flesh and the old Adam. But the new man desires to both love God and to love the neighbor, and that means active engagement in the world, in all walks of life, for the benefit of my fellow man. And that's in large part what Matt Harrison is talking about in his great book, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action. While that book was not written for, congregations establishing Lutheran day schools, for example, it really has a lot to say in that volume about why a congregation would establish a day school, to serve the Christian parents who are interested in teaching their children and supporting them in their God-given vocation so that they can live out their faith, not simply as a pastor, but if they're not called to the office of the ministry, to live out their faith in the myriad of vocations that are available to us.
How do we avoid what I, at least in my experience, I've had a thoroughly positive experience in public education with my kids. I happen to live in a place where the schools are great, and the teachers and the staff and everyone, I mean, just as happy as I could possibly be. But there is one thing that I've noted as the parent of school-age kids in the past, and that is, and how do Lutheran schools avoid this? The emphasis is so strongly upon preparing for college and then career that I wonder if just kind of education for its own sake has been completely lost. It's about making a good earner, making a good citizen and earner in this world so you can have the best possible career. It's a little bit of kind of a prosperity emphasis in education today. How do we avoid this?
I think it's important, Todd, that we as Christians learn what work is for and why God has given us the gift of work. It's interesting to note that work was something that God had given us to do before the fall into sin. As he gives dominion to Adam and Eve, tells them to be fruitful and multiply and to have dominion, to exercise benevolent authority over his creation and so forth. But for whose benefit? For us as Christians, work is not for my benefit, but it's for your benefit. So God called me to be pastor here at Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, not for my own self-aggrandizement or some sort of benefit that is going to accrue to me, but he has called me to be a pastor here to serve these people with the gospel and sacraments of Christ. It's for their benefit. And Christians should be taught that that's what work is for across the board. While it's true that a Christian husband and wife might earn a living to put food on their table and a roof over their heads, and that's true, they are there to serve their neighbor in love in the work that God has given them to do. So the father goes to work in the morning, or the mother goes to work and says, I'm doing this for the sake of my family or for my spouse. But more than that, whatever I'm given to do, if I'm an electrician, then I do a good job as an electrician. I'm there to help people who would otherwise electrocute themselves because they don't know how to do run a basic circuit or something like that. And the plumber is there to serve the neighbor and make sure that their boiler is working so that they have heat in the cold Wisconsin winters in the middle of January. And that understanding of work is, I think, what you're pointing out has been missing in a lot of public education as well as some of our Lutheran schools, the idea that the work that God has given me to do, and education serves that end, is that I might serve my neighbor in love. And God will take care of me in the process. But notice how that goes right back to what our Lord did. His work upon the cross was not for his own praise, was not for his own glory, but it was for our benefit, for our salvation, to reconcile us to the Father. And so he gave of himself to us so that we might live, and that's reflected in every Christian's life in the vocation to which God has called him.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran schools on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 11th. When we come back, we're going to deal with some of the objections. They really are kind of objections that arise within a Lutheran congregation to having a school, like it's too expensive, or we won't be able to offer our kids all of the extras that other schools can. We'll talk about that after this.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. There is a great little book that was actually written by Martin Luther called The Simple Way to Pray. It's been recently translated by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the even better news is we're actually going to be giving one of these, signed by the translator, Pastor Matt Harrison, one of these books away to every single person who records their answer to this question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? By Friday morning, November the 14th, you'll get an autographed copy of A Simple Way to Pray signed by its translator, Pastor Matt Harrison. All you got to do is call our comment line, 618-223-8382, and answer that question, issues, etc. What does this mean by Friday morning, November the 14th? And the listener with the best recording is also going to win two Concordia commentaries, one on Galatians and the other on Romans 1 through 8. So leave your thoughts about the worldwide outreach of issues, etc., at the Issues Etc. comment line by Friday morning, November the 14th, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran schools. Let's deal with a few of the objections, and the one that probably is the most common is that schools are expensive. If you've got a school, if a congregation has a school, they know that, or if they're contemplating beginning one, they're aware of it as well. How do you deal with that, Pastor Bender?
I think it is important that congregations be taught the proper theology upon which a Lutheran school would rest. A Lutheran school is an auxiliary of a Lutheran congregation. And by that I mean, you can be a Christian congregation and not have a school. But you can't be a Christian congregation without the gospel and sacraments being faithfully preached and rightly administered. And so I remember when we began the process of exploring starting our school some 20 years ago, more than that, 22 years ago, I told the congregation explicitly, I would rather that we understand the theological foundation rightly upon which a congregation would dare to start such an enterprise as a school, and then decide, after understanding the theological foundation and underpinnings, decide not to start a school, than not understand that foundation and decide to start a school. And I begin that way in answering your question because there is no substitute for the Word of God and understanding what the Word of God would have us be and do as Christians in order to be able to wrestle with those kinds of questions about cost. It costs a lot of money, but why do we do it? We do it first for the sake of the gospel of Christ and the extension of His kingdom of faith in Christ. That means that the gospel has to be at the center of the life of the school. And then we do so as an extension of mercy to our own members who need support in being Christian parents in a world that is more and more hostile to them in bringing up their children, not only in the Christian faith, but to be God-fearing, contributing citizens in the society. And we also do it in mercy for the world around us, for those who do not know Christ, and that we not only bring faith to them, but that we also care about them in their physical earthly needs, and so that there's a wonderful wedding between the proclamation of the gospel of God's mercy in Jesus, and then mercifully caring for those who are falling through the cracks, and these kinds of understandings have to be held up in to congregations in helping them make a responsible decision. And when I think about people falling through the cracks, we've had a number of students who were falling through the cracks in the public school. They were not our members. Their families, in some cases, had no particular church affiliation. But they heard about our small school. They heard some, quote, success stories simply about the care and compassion shown to every student here, and they decided to make inquiry. And then not only has their children been benefited by learning how to read where they were in second and third grade and had not learned the fundamentals of reading, but they also came in contact with the gospel. And the gospel not only preached, but then the gospel lived on the part of our members who willingly took them in and wrapped their arms around them and welcomed them into the family. And so it's a powerful witness to the faith in the kind of concrete aspects of life that we talked about before.
The other side of that, Peter, is the objection, we'll never be able to compete. Especially if a church school finds itself in a good school district, a good public school district, the objection is often, we won't be able to offer all the things that a state-funded school will be able to offer. What are your thoughts there?
And we have to be honest to say, you're absolutely right. We can't offer those things, but we're going to offer the things that you can't find anywhere else that are the most important things, namely the gospel, namely the integration of the Word of God and our faith in Christ into every aspect of life. We're going to offer a kind of protection here, and I hear this a lot, not so much now anymore, but I used to hear it some years ago, that I want my kids to be exposed to the real world. Well, Todd, the stuff that's happening out there in the real world, I don't want my first, second, third, fourth, fifth graders or even junior high exposed to. I want them to have a protective environment in which to learn the faith and to study in the both basic academic elementary subjects before they begin to encounter some of the more heinous things that sinful humanity is perpetrating in this day and age. So, but another thing that we do for our members here is there are so many opportunities available in the community, whether it's in various sporting clubs and other public rec leagues and so forth in the area of athletics, or music opportunities. We have our Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra up here, and children's choir and so forth, that we have begun to catalog all of the places where they can find access to some of those things that we may not be able to afford, but are nonetheless easily available in the community.
Let's return to something we discussed near the beginning of our conversation. You had said that the task of the teacher is an extension not of the office of pastor, but of parents. With that said, and I completely agree with you, with that said, what is the role of the pastor in a Lutheran school?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And this is where, in contrast to the side-by-side kind of view that I mentioned briefly earlier, we should see that the office of the ministry is like the presiding bishop of the school. Not to micromanage the principal or board of education and faculty, but to preside over the entire program of a Lutheran day school with the governance of the Word of God. And our schools have, in the history of the Missouri Synod, have often been promoted as mission opportunities. And unfortunately, in recent times, particularly the last 25 years or so, in the name of missions, we've been taking out of our schools more and more the only thing that converts and creates faith and bestows the blessings of Christ, and that's the Word of God. There was a time in the history of the Missouri Synod where anyone who sent their children to a Lutheran day school, and if they were non-members, they were required to take the adult catechesis class of the congregation, because they saw how important it was that the parents be able to say amen to what their children were being taught religiously in the school. But less and less is that the case in our modern Lutheran schools. So in the name of missions, we do all kinds of things to bring people in, but we remove from our schools the one thing that is necessary for the creation of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I envision the pastor being the pastor of the faculty, teaching them the Word of God so that they can integrate that into their classrooms, and that they should look to him to judge doctrine and to even at times examine curriculum to be able to ascertain whether or not it's faithful or whether it is contradictory to the Word of God, and to help them deal with those contradictions. It's also the job of the pastor to teach in the school. And in our particular setting here, we have daily chapel, Monday through Friday from 8 to 8:30. And I am there every day, unless I'm out of town, leading the chapel services, preaching and teaching catechetically with the biblical narratives to the children, engaging them. And the added benefit of that, and I would advocate it for every single one of our Lutheran schools in the Missouri Synod, is that instead of encountering children as a pastor when they are youth, I am seeing them at the preschool level, and they are growing up with me right on through puberty as they see me every day, welcoming them to school, leading them in the chapel services, engaging them in questions, and praying with them, hearing their confessions, forgiving their sins, and parents and the whole congregation is open to come to chapel every day. And that is, I cannot tell you how significant that is in binding both congregation and our day school family together around the same diet of the Word of God, where the Spirit of God works to ground us in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and then in compassionate love toward one another.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy based in Sussex, Wisconsin. We're talking about Lutheran schools for about another 10 minutes here on this Tuesday afternoon, Veterans Day. We'll continue that. Sounds like if he's not pastor to the members of the congregation, he is certainly chaplain to the school. We'll talk a little bit about that and the lifelong benefits of Lutheran schools after this. Election analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life.
We had some candidates who thought that if they went into their districts or their states and talked only about abortion and women's reproductive rights, that they were going to win. They thought that was the magic bullet. It did not work.
Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage.
Look at the races where Republicans endorse same-sex marriage. Then look at how candidates did that were Republican, that were champions of traditional marriage. You couldn't be more wrong to say that marriage didn't have an impact in the election. It had a big impact.
Greg Smith of the Pew Research Center.
Among voters who attend church or another house of worship at least weekly, almost 6 in 10 voted Republican. Among people who say they never attend religious services, most voted Democratic.
An angle on the midterm elections you won't hear covered by Fox News, CNN, or NBC. Issues Etc., your comprehensive source for news, information, and truth.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How would you like to receive Martin Luther's A Simple Way to Pray, signed by its translator, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Everyone who records their answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, by Friday morning, November the 14th, will receive an autographed copy of A Simple Way to Pray. The listener with the best recording will also win two Concordia commentaries, Galatians and Romans 1-8. Leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line by Friday morning, November the 14th at 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Lutheran schools on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy based in Sussex, Wisconsin. Briefly, if you would, Pastor Bender, tell us a little bit about the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Yes, the Concordia Catechetical Academy, or the CCA as we shorten it up to, is an auxiliary of our congregation, and it's governed by our Board of Elders. I serve as the director of it, as you said, and our mission is to promote Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis in our own congregation and the church at large. And our elementary school, Peace Lutheran Academy, becomes kind of a laboratory and a workshop for the catechetical materials that we produce for both children and adults. for congregations with or without schools. And one of the advantages I tell people about the CCA materials is that they're actually produced by a pastor who works in a congregation day-to-day and has confronted a lot of the issues that that pastors have to face in catechesis, and the materials are born out of that. We have an annual symposium. It's in June, the third week of June, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And this coming June, 2015, the topic will be pastoral care for the shepherd and his sheep. And I'm particularly interested in exploring the question of pastors needing pastoral care just as much as the sheep do. And we expect our parishioners to have a relationship with their pastor and hearing the word and receiving the sacraments and confessing their sins and being absolved. The pastors need to have pastoral care as well. So we always explore some aspect of traditional catechesis in Lutheran schools at our annual symposium.
Folks, you can find out more about the CCA at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. I wanted you to discuss, if you would, the lifelong benefits. I was preaching just a couple days ago at a local congregation, and who would be sitting at the organ bench but my fourth grade teacher. And we've kept in touch a little bit since she's returned to this area. And I must say, speaking for myself, my career being a pastor, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today were it not for the very difficult efforts of a woman like that. Talk about the lifelong benefits of a Lutheran education.
Yeah, you know, relationships are built, and the best relationships are those that are built by a sharing of the common faith and a nurture in the Word of God. That's why that dear teacher was important to you, and that was the foundation of your relationship, and it made a difference in the direction that God led you in your own life and in becoming a pastor and now being the host of Issues, etc. And I think that's so very important. And when I mentioned before, you know, the role of the pastor and that to greet the children here every day that I do and then to have daily chapel with them every day, it certainly makes the conversation of faith with them much easier. And that's what you have in a Lutheran teacher. When you're with that Lutheran teacher for 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, they get to know you. You get to know them. And respect for them is born not only of their teaching of the faith and the integrity and passion with which they teach the other academic subjects as well, but you get the sense from them and the best of them that they really believe what they're teaching, and they really believe the faith that they are living. And that has a profound impact upon students in modeling for them what we talked about before, that this the value of work, the gift of work, and how our faith in Christ is active in love for the neighbor in our daily work, whatever it is, not primarily for our own benefit, but for the benefit of another. And so you caught that, and so many of our Lutheran students will catch that in their teachers who model that just simply by not saying to them, I'm doing this for your benefit, but they catch it in the way in which the teachers go about their work and live out their faith and integrate that into their teaching. And that has a profound impact for a lifetime.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy based in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
On the subject of Lutheran schools, if you know a high schooler who is thinking about college, even you know early in high school, especially late in high school, encourage them to check out Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Bethany Lutheran College is committed to making Christian higher education affordable to all with generous financial and packages available. Check them out, Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota, blc.edu, lc.edu or give them a call, 1-800-944-3066, 1-800-944-3066, Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. We're really talking here about the life of the mind, aren't we? Educating from the very beginning, from the youngest ages, in the context of the Christian faith, all the things that a person needs in this life, which are good gifts from God, we confess in the first article of the Creed. All these things, our reason, our senses, our strength, all given by God for His glory and for the benefit of our neighbor. And so it is a good thing that the church seeks to cultivate the life of the mind, to educate, to inform, to increase knowledge and stature in our children, not only so that they might grow up and be good citizens or have fruitful careers, but more importantly, that they might grow up and actually, as we say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. The mind is included there. And love their neighbors as themselves. They only learn the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And from that love given us in the great gift of our Savior comes the love for neighbor. That is the task of a lifetime. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.